The Ticket.
Podcasts are brought to you in part by Lewis Jewelers, the official jeweler of The Ticket and proud partner of Michigan Athletics.
So they play the games for a reason, Ira. You don't play games on paper. You don't know what's going to happen. You know, we talked about game three in the Nets, in the Nets Bucks series. You know, they woke up. It was a poor shooting game. We had this whole thing about Bruce Brown forgetting that he's Bruce Brown. It was like, come on, man. Like, dude, I know you had yourself a good little run there. You know, you scored some points, especially early in the game. You know, you were a nice two-man game option, but you don't take the game-winning shot. Right? That's stay in your lane. Now, Miz did a great job with that drop while you were out because we were like, dude, you got KD, you got Kyrie. You're not KD, you're not Kyrie.
So know your role is what you're saying?
Know your role. Know your role, right? Absolutely. We were all over that. So the Bucks, they got up with the mess. Hey, man, they're going to come right back. I'm looking for the Nets to come right back and win. I said, I still think this series is over. But you play the game because you don't know what's going to happen in the form of, like, injury to Kyrie Irving. So Kyrie Irving being sidelined and for how long, don't know. It looked like a pretty painful ankle injury. That does make this thing more interesting, right? Because now you got Kyrie and Harden out. You know, can KD put the whole team on his shoulders and beat the Bucks? Now it becomes a little dicey because Blake Griffin, does he have enough left in the tank to be, to be a number two? Doesn't look like it. Doesn't feel like it. I mean, this feels, hey, KD's best wingman is the security guard that ran on the floor to bum rush PJ Tucker, right? Did you see that, Ira? I remember watching that during the game. It was like, man, who is this flying off the bench? Who's getting suspended from flying off the bench? It was KD's bodyguard, which in the grand scheme of things, Ira, wasn't he kind of doing his job?
Technically.
He was doing his job.
Technically.
Technically, he was doing his job. Now, he's barred from working the games. Now, he's definitely barred from working the games in Milwaukee, but the Nets came out and said he can't work our games. Either.
I think KD needs new security.
Hey, man, he saw them going after PJ Tucker going after KD. He's like, hey, man, nah, it ain't happening on my end of the floor.
It's my job, not on my watch.
I mean, man, he came out hard, too. He came out blazing. And they're supposed to de-escalate the situation. I thought the fisticuffs were really going to start flying at that point. But, again, to get back on point, who's KD's wingman now, right? Who's that other guy against the Bucks? I mean, the Bucks are a really good team. I'm not making them sound like, didn't mean to make them sound like bums. They just aren't on the Nets level if two of their big three are on the court. It's why a Bruce Brown can go off, right? A lot easier for a really good team like the Bucks to play the Nets if two-thirds of their contingent is out. And that played out in the contest. So a lot riding on the injury status I think that for those who thought that the Nets were gonna run away with this, I think there's a little bit of some slack cut as a result of injury. I think but for injury, they would have come right back and they would have taken care of the Bucks in that game. You go out west and, man, from Devin Booker's old school ride, you see him roll up with I was like, man, this dude is an old soul. Drop top with shiny gold rims rolled in. He probably had a tape deck in there, Ira. No, it's probably an 8-track. Probably had 8-track. Kids don't even know what 8-tracks are, right? I barely know what an 8-track is.
I remember my dad with the 8-track, and you'd hit. Yeah, I remember a little bit. I remember the 8-track a little. And I had a buddy who, when we were in high school, he had his dad's old 8-track machine with like, there were only like 4 8-tracks left.
What was the quality on 8-tracks? Like, I really can't remember 8-tracks.
I want to say that my memory serves that they, I don't think they lasted as long, but I think they had the same kind of quality as a cassette. Tapes? Yeah, as a cassette.
As a cassette tape? Okay. Yeah, I thought maybe cassette tape just had the benefit of size. Like they
I think cassette was a different shape, and it obviously had more space because you had the two sides. And yeah, I don't. But 8-tracks are kind of like, no, we don't have them in the studio anymore, but 8-tracks were a lot like cart decks that we used to use in radio. But the 8-tracks you could have, obviously, they were long play versus the what we use in the studio, which would be for, you know, 30 seconds or a minute or something like that.
Anyway, man, the Suns are looking really, really, really good, dude. The Suns are looking really, really good. And so Phoenix, they dust off the Nuggets. Now, remember the Nuggets, they are without Jamal Murray. So that's a big deal. But you saw the Joker. The Joker's your MVP. The Joker is a big-time player. The Joker was frustrated. And so a frustration foul that, you know, he goes for a steal after an errant shot and a rebound. He goes and swipes at Cameron Payne and swipes him across the face. Now, Payne was on the deck. I kind of felt like, come on, man. You got hit. You did get hit. It was you did take a shot. What was it? An on the ground writhing shot? No, it's not an on the ground writhing shot. Definitely a flagrant foul that occurred there. But another sign that this Phoenix Suns team, maybe this is their year. That this Nugget squad couldn't even win a game. And I'm taking into account that Jamal Murray was out. It's definitely not a sweep if Jamal Murray's playing. I fully believe that. But watching Devin Booker come of age, and I was just talking about that this weekend, that I thought he'd be a good pro shooter. The dude is one of the top 5 to 10 scorers in the game. Just an unbelievable score. And watched him in high school, watched him in college. I wondered if he would be able to defend his position. And I especially wondered from a quickness standpoint if he would be able to get where he wanted to on the shot. Now, he is such a good shooter. Like, he is an elite shooter. And he is able to get so much spaces. And he's gotten a little more athletic, but he has become more lethal with his shot. And he gets space as a result. You cannot give him an inch. It is going down. And so, you know, to me, this playoff series or these playoffs are maybe his national coming out party as a superstar. I'm talking about, when I say that, I'm talking about beyond the basketball audience, like the regular audience. Like when you see them covering what car you drive up to the stadium in or drive up to the arena in, now it's like, okay, you're one of those guys. You're one of those commercial guys. You're one of those guys, one of those names that everyone knows. When they're, you know, it's national news, them filming you driving into the arena. I can remember them filming different guys driving to the arena. Watching playoffs and when we were kids, right? They're doing that with Devin Booker now. And the Suns, one of the things that I think gives them a real edge, man, their crowd is unreal. Have you watched any of their games? Their crowds are unreal, Mr. Weintraub. Their fans are unreal. Case in point. Oh, boy. Did you guys see a Nuggets fan? Now, if you're a Nuggets fan and your team is already down, your team is about to get swept, why are you talking mess? Like you're 0-3 and you're about to get put out. Why are you talking mess? So I showed Ira a clip this morning, and it's just more of what we've been talking about fans going nuts in the stands. So Nuggets fans, two Nuggets fans, and a Suns fan, right? And they're going back and forth. talking mess. And the Nuggets fan decides he wants to swing on this Suns fan. And the Suns fan sidesteps the punch. And Ira, I mean, it was like a hockey move. He sidesteps the punch and grabs his jersey, right? Because you gotta grab the jersey in hockey, right? You gotta hold on and brace yourself so you can get the punches off, right? Isn't that how it works in hockey?
Sure, part of that is because you're on ice, and part of that is because it takes away the leverage that your opponent has. Yes. Right.
Man, he sidesteps the punch, grabs the dude's Nuggets jersey, and commences to drop like 7-8 shots to the head, like boom, 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 boom. Quick. Then swings on his boy too, because he had one of his Nuggets friends with him. Swings on him. It's like, man, I'm gonna mess your boy up. Gives him another uppercut shot. Lets him go. It says Suns in four. So he beats him down, calls his shot, talking about you're going to get swept on top of it. And as the guy who got pummeled is walking out, someone says, yeah, man, go call the police on him. Wait a minute, Ira. The guy who got beat down initiated the fight. He initiated the fight in the stands. The Suns fan was defending himself. What do you mean go call the cops on him? The guy who should have got called, had the cops called on him, was the guy who started the whole thing. But it gets back to my original point, though. Suns fans are unreal. I'll tweet the video out in case you missed this latest fight in the stands. But, you know, it's a sign. Hey, watch who you're messing with. He thought because he had his Nuggets boy with him that he was going to be fine. His Nuggets boy got a shot, too. Because they mess with the wrong Suns fan in this instance.
You know, going to games as a visiting fan. Oh, this game was in Denver, wasn't it? It's not even in Phoenix. This was in Denver.
Oh, yeah. Theus just tweeted out.
Yeah, generally, going to games as a fan when you're but my bigger question is a bigger picture question. We've already talked about this. We've always seen fights in stands. We've always seen unruly fans. But why does it feel like in the last month or so, as fans are coming back, that it's extremely, that has gone to an extreme? Because this fight's an extreme. Like, this should not be happening. The amount of time we've seen, well, the Dodgers game has happened more than once at a Dodgers game so far this year. This should not be happening. And it's not just because people are, you know, liquored up or whatever. It can't just because they're back at venues for the first time in a year and change. Did they really forget how to act in public? It's a little excessive. The Nuggets guy got what he deserved what he got because he initiated it.
And none of the Nuggets fans around him helped either.
Because they know he was wrong, right?
Well, like, no, because one of his fellow Nuggets fans said, go call the cops on him.
Well, but he's not getting involved in it. In the end, he's not going to. No one's going to step in and, well, one, they don't want to get their butt kicked. And B, they know they're wrong. The guy was wrong. He started the fight.
Yeah, because they were walking out. The Nuggets fans, they were talking trash. And then the two Nuggets fans walked away, and one of the Nuggets fans came back around and tried to sneak the Suns fan. Man, he sidestepped to grab that jersey. Hey, that's a hockey. Hey, who would have thought that you got a Phoenix fan that probably played some hockey in his day, because it was perfect technique. And he destroyed this dude. And he was probably more concerned about it being caught on camera than his face getting beat in. Like it did. But, hey, man, that Suns fan, you're right. He was a visiting fan. Protecting himself, and quite well.
I'll be honest. That is a very – and I don't condone fighting the stands, but I rarely have ever seen the visiting fan not be the one that's leaving hurt. But
yeah, the dude just slunked off. He walked away with his head down.
His head was down because it was in his shirt, because I'm pretty sure he was bleeding out of his nose.
He was embarrassed. He didn't want that shot out. It's bad enough the fight is viral at this point. We need to get to a break. When we come back on the other side, we'll talk about a very eventful weekend. Lots of visitors. I'll focus on a visitor, a transfer who came in and earned an offer. And then I got to tell you a story about Walter Nolan. Man, just a physical freak, people. I mean, I guess we knew that already. He's number two player in the country, number one defensive lineman in the country. He made another statement, another case for the number one player overall. We'll get to that on the other side here. the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTK, the Ticket.